And good morning, folks, and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers here on the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network. We'll be right back right after this song.
He's walking on a narrow path and holding his head high. He's talking of an answer that will make a grown man cry. He's hoping for a better day and doing all he can. He's living and he's praying for a place to make his stand. An American is someone who knows just what he's got. He's not afraid to fight for it, to save his children's law. America is freedom, he calls it his last stand.
Folks, and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers here at the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network. We're coming to you live this morning, August 30th, 2025, and welcome. And I'll bring the men on the line. Good morning, Tim.
Good morning.
And good morning, Will.
Good morning, fellas.
And thanks for being here, guys. Will, why don't you start us off with a word of prayer this morning?
You bet. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for another beautiful Saturday morning, and thank you, Lord, for the fellowship of Jason and Tim and all of those that are listening with us today, Lord. I pray, oh God, that you will just bless this time. I pray, Lord, that it will please you and that it will further the kingdom and build the kingdom, oh God, as we are in your service. I thank you, Lord, for all of our friends that are listening with us, and Lord, I just pray for this to be an informative and enjoyable time. And, Lord, that your will be done this day as in all days, and that we, Lord, will be instruments of that will. Lord, we ask it in your name. Amen.
Amen. Well, it's been a busy week for me. I know it, it probably has been a busy week for you guys, too, it sounds like, because we haven't had much of a chance to talk at all this week.
It has been that. That's true.
Yeah.
It wasn't just a Colorado thing, Jason. It was a Texas thing, too.
Was it? Okay. Yeah, it just seemed like everything was hectic.
Yeah, you started in the morning, and suddenly the day was over.
Yes. In my case, Tim, you thought the day was over, and then the day started again.
Yeah, I know how that is.
Keep,
it's like, wow.
I don't know.
It's hard to believe that we're at the end of August already. I mean, it's September. Be here, in 2 days. It's like, wow, how did that happen?
I don't know, but it really did.
I saw a meme this week, and I realized that sometimes these things are not just made-up little memes. It really does reflect your life. And the meme was talking about, hey, can you believe it's almost football season? And the other fellow slaps the other fellow and says, don't you mean deer season? And I realized it's almost deer season. I'm getting close to that. So,
wow. Yep.
Time is flying.
Yeah, it is. It really is. I know we got seasons that are open here, and it's like I haven't even had a chance to get out and do anything about it. It's like I just you thinking about it, and it's it's one of those deals, but oh well. Go ahead.
No, before we change the subject, dove season, which is a big thing down here, opens up this upcoming weekend, a week from today. And that was one of those things that I realized. I was talking to a gentleman that I dove hunt with, and he said, this is my favorite time of year. And I said, what's that? And he said, it's shotgun cleaning time. And I said, what? And he said, yeah, I always clean my shotgun the weekend before dove season. And I said, you don't clean it during dove season? He said, why? It's just going to get dirty. So, I don't know. Maybe that's a very early prepper tip of the week. Keep your shotgun clean. Don't do it just once a year.
Yeah, I know, right?
Anyway, sorry about that, Jason. Good idea.
No, I appreciate that. Oh, let's move on to world news. Man, there is just a lot of crazy stuff that's going on out there in the world. Let's start with Britain. Brits fly English flag in opposition to leftists claiming it's offensive to migrants. Man, it just seems like haven't these people figured it out yet that they don't need to be worried about being offensive towards these migrants?
I think some are starting to figure it out.
I think some of them are too, but man, I just want to read a little bit of this article. I think it's a good way to start off. The UK is in the midst of a battle between nationalists who simply want to fly their nation's flag proudly and leftists who claim the mere sight of the English flag is offensive to the hordes of migrants they've let pour into the nation in recent years. Several videos from across UK are going viral online showing some British citizens displaying both the St. George's Cross Union Jack flags while others cry they're offensive and take them down from flagpoles or criticize their fellow countrymen for daring to be proud of their heritage. In one incident, people were denied entry to a local pub for displaying an English flag on their persons. Wow.
Mm-hmm. It's just wild.
The flag we're talking about is the white flag with the red cross on it for those that are listening to us. And, I think it's cool. It's almost, like something out of a movie or something that you're starting to hear people like the chant is, England for the English. That's a novel idea, huh? But people are, really, they're taking to the streets, and that's becoming their battle cry. And I know I was sharing with Jason very early in the week that some of the electrical junction boxes in England that are on the street corners in London and that sort of thing. They're these white rectangular boxes. And what you're starting to see is there's a phenomenon of graffiti going on all over of England with these white electric junction boxes where in the middle of the night folks are slipping in and painting these red crosses so that it looks like the English flag, not the British flag. And this is driving the local governments crazy that they haven't been able to capture these graffiti artists, and they're pouring resources in trying to catch these kids with spray paints. Meanwhile, the Syrians and the Pakistanis that are raping our white kids, they're not doing anything about that, but they're trying to catch the people painting these English flags.
Well, and it's amazing to me. It's such an oxymoron that it's like they're using these words, you know, that they have migrants are offended by the flag. Well, if you're a migrant to a country, doesn't that mean you want to go there? I want to migrate there.
Right.
That's a great country. I want to be there. I like their political system. I like, you know, you have all these beliefs of that. So it's an ox. They're not migrants or illegal aliens.
Yeah.
They're invaders. They've come in to invade, distort, and change that entire. And I was thinking about the word, those flags, you know, we call them standards. I mean, that's what they are. A flag is a standard. And they have come in and seek to destroy the standards of a country. And it's not just on the flag level that they want to destroy. They want to destroy every standard in that country. You know?
Great point.
Yeah, we don't. And so we're seeing that really on a worldwide scale. I mean, it's like, wow, what a shift in. And it doesn't matter whether you like it or not. It's largely driven by Islam or which, if you really want to get back to it, it's satanic all the way back. I mean, it goes. It goes a lot deeper than that. So I think we're seeing that go on there. And I mean, isn't it, that's St. George's cross is what that is on that flag. But isn't it interesting that it's a cross? They want nothing to do with the cross. Everything that, and our whole society is about the cross, whether we like, you know, whether we want to admit that or not. I mean, we are Christian nations. Our forefathers said it, you know, it's been within that framework. So I think it's something to think about.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and that's the thing is, you think about it, it's like, okay, they want to come in from over there, migrate. And where are most of these migrants coming from over there? Is it one specific area, or is it a collaboration?
The largest number in London, I believe, is Pakistan. Jason,
okay.
But I know they also have a lot of Syrians as well.
Okay, I was thinking it was Pakistan. I didn't know that they had many Syrians. Yeah, that rings a bell, though. Yeah, so, I mean, it's like, okay, yeah. Who cares about offending these people? It's like they're offended by our flag, so what? So leave or go somewhere else.
No, yeah, that's a great point.
And I think that it's just, you know, the immigration. You look at where people are immigrating to, especially these, you know, these Pakistanis, these Syrians, these Guatemalans. I mean, they're going to white civilizations. They're going to stuff that, you know, our forefathers built. And, you know, they're coming in and they're trying to destroy it. It's one of those things that's, it's going back to what we've been talking about for, I don't know, the last year, is knowing your enemies. It's our, you know, it's that unseen third hand, I believe, that's behind it. But, you know, they seeking to destroy Jacob Israel.
Well, like we've talked in past, you know, you stop and if you think about this reasonably and logically, you have these people that are leaving these areas of the world and they're bypassing the United Arab Emirates. They're bypassing Turkey. They're bypassing Saudi Arabia, Qatar, and all of these westernized top-tier nations that have the same culture, that have the same language or similar language, the same religion. They're not going there. which would be the logical place. If you're trying to make a life for yourself, a better life, you would go to these places that are more like you. They're not. They're going to the white westernized civilizations. You mentioned Guatemalans, Jason. You stop and think about the Hondurans, the Nicaraguans, the Central Americans, the Venezuelans that are coming from South America. If they're trying to make a better life, they're coming through the interior of Mexico. Mexico City has 23 million people. It is a westernized modern city. If you were trying to find a place to immigrate to that speaks the same language, has the same food, practices the same Catholicism, all of that kind of stuff.
Yeah, why wouldn't you go
you're
there?
You're passing the city. Right, you're passing through where you should stop and have your stopping off point. So when you really start thinking about it logically and reasonably, I'm not sure how anyone that's got two brain cells to rub together can think that this is not a planned, coordinated attack. And like Tim used the word, it's the 1984 doublespeak, right? The George Orwell doublespeak. They're not migrants; they're invaders. Because if it's a planned, coordinated effort, that's an invasion. They have sent these people out to these white, westernized Christian nations for a purpose. And I don't know. I'm saying things that we know, but I think it needs to be said again.
Well, and kind of a knee-jerk reaction I thought was interesting was, and I just read this the other day, but Albania over there has traditionally been largely Muslim, and they're turning Christian. They're booting them out. I mean, for the first time in, I don't know how long, years and years, Albania has fallen below 45% on Muslim population. Christian orthodoxy has taken over, and they're getting a boot. They're getting rules about all kinds of interesting things over there. But isn't that, we see all these other countries that are fighting back. I mean, you can go through Poland, Albania,
Hungary,
I can't think right now, Sweden or something. They just came out with rulings on those. No hijabs, no headdresses in public spaces or places like schools and everything else. And basically, their PM is a woman, and I'm just running off memory here, but she was like, if you don't like it, leave. So it's like, okay, guys, yeah. When you come in and you migrate to a country, you, for crying out loud, our news reporters, when they go over there to those Muslim countries, they put on a headpiece or whatever so that they can interview people in there and everything else without being attacked or whatever. That's the way you work. But no, they come here and they want to change our standards. So that's the invasion.
Well, the one thing that I was thinking is when you mentioned Sweden, I think you're right, Tim, about that's the country that recently was coming out and kind of cracking down on this nonsense. And, thinking about what's going on in England, and we've seen what's happening in Spain and some of these other European nations. Hungary has been a stalwart for a long time. You don't hear about any of this brown or black immigration in Hungary. And if you remember why, about three or four years ago, they just put all of their military on the border and said, like, we will shoot you if you tried to come into our country. And amazingly, they haven't had any of these migrants come into Hungary. They've remained a white nation of Hungarian Christians. But with these other nations like Sweden, and I would consider Sweden to be kind of a docile country. They're not a very militant country, but they're starting to lean that way, aren't they? They're starting to take stands like the folks in England are, and Scotland and places like that. It's kind of neat to me to see that, because you got to remember that is our founding stock. If you stop and think about, those are the people who came here to form this nation. And when they declared their independence, it was that long train of abuses, right? They just couldn't stand anymore. It was that long train of abuses. And I think it's exciting to watch what's happening over there. We're watching it afar, even though we're experiencing the same kind of crap here. But it's almost like you have these Europeans that are either on the continent or an island over in England or Scotland or whatever, and the long train of abuses have gotten to the point of where they're just saying no more. And I think it's exciting to watch that happen. And we'll see. You know, there is still a lot of talk about rebellion against the government in England. And I don't know. I think it's fun to watch.
Well, unlike you guys were saying, it's interesting to me that just like what's going on there, they can't, you know, in the UK, it's probably, I believe statistically, it's the widest surveilled society on the planet. I mean, there's cameras on every street corner, on every storefront. I mean, you're not just being recorded over there. You're being recorded from multiple angles. But they have children being raped, people being murdered and accosted and everything. And they just can't find any of those people, you know. And it's like, so these things don't bring about safety. And that is part of that train of abuse, because it's like, well, are you really looking? I mean, are you really using the tools available that you have to figure out why this is going on and why it's not being stopped? And
if you look back to colonial America, that's a great point, Tim. If you look back to colonial America, part of that train of abuses was rules for thee and rules for me. You know, there were separate system of rules towards the colonists and then the English loyalists and that sort of stuff. And I think that's what the English are starting to experience now, or at least waking up to, is they have been made second tier or second class citizens in their own country. And that type of surveillance and enforcement action being taken against them is not being extended to these invaders. That there's rules for thee and rules for me. And I think, quite frankly, they just get pissed off about it. And I don't know. Did y'all see the video footage of the little 12-year-old girl in Scotland?
I did.
With a butcher knife and the hatchet?
I did.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's the same. Well, and, I mean, I got mixed feelings on that whole deal. I mean, I'm glad people are rallying behind her. People are backing her, basically. And for folks that haven't seen it, I mean, there was migrant, and this 12-year-old girl, she resorted to carrying a hatchet and a butcher knife to protect herself from these foreigners. And to me, it's like, yeah, I'm glad people are getting behind her, but it's sad that it takes a 12-year-old girl to stand up and to do something. It's my thoughts on
it. No doubt. Going along those lines, what Tim was saying is the real tragedy in this is, so you got a couple, I think they were Syrians, I don't know what they were, Pakistani and Syrians, yeah, they were falling around, I think it was what was it, Jason, do you remember?
I thought it was a Pakistani, but I'm not.
It might have been, but these are young Scottish girls that are just walking down the street, minding their own business, and they're basically, for the lack of a better term, I mean, they're just being stalked. And you know, these sexual comments were being made by these invaders toward these little girls, you know, 12, 13-year-old girls. And so this has become so commonplace there that you have 12-year-olds. Think about that. 12-year-olds. 12-year-old little girls that have had to resort to putting butcher knives and hatchets on their person to fend off these invaders, because they don't want to be raped. They don't want to be molested. And the real tragedy to me is this little girl defended herself and defended her friend. And, you know, this went viral and lots of people are rallying behind her. And the Scottish government has charged her with a crime.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. For defending herself. And if that's not a long train of abuses, Tim, I don't know what is.
Yeah. Well, and I agree with Jason. I mean, where are the men? I mean, where is why, you know, in this day, I mean, I don't know about you. I live in a mundane area. I mean, if time has missed anywhere, it's where I live. I mean, you know, I've said it before. If the end of the world happened tomorrow, we'd get here for 2 years. But, you know, we look at this and see this. I mean, I don't, I never let my girls run around, and that wasn't because they're not capable young women or anything, but that was my job. That's the way I looked at it. We made sure that they had proper oversight or protection, not because they were bad, but because there are bad people out there, you know. I mean, they even did it with my sons when they were younger, you know. It's like, no. But, yeah, there's – and I think we're seeing some of the men starting to fire on all eight, so to speak, when we look at the – just like the stuff we were talking about earlier with some of the resentment. But, you know, goodness, you're going to have to get after it. I mean, it's like this stuff can't go on. It's not right. And
I agree, and they've got a real problem if they're going to charge this 12-year-old girl with you know. And that's what they said, is they said this is the sad thing is this video is what it went viral, and there's people that are rallying behind her and standing up for her, but it's going to cause her to be in so much trouble, and it's being used against her. And that's the sad thing. I mean, what kind of, you know, they talk about a corrupt government. Sometimes you think we got a corrupt government. You see stuff like that, it really puts things in perspective.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah. Comparatively speaking, it wasn't but a few years ago when it was illegal to carry handguns on public education spaces or colleges. They had that. And I don't remember all the details. Maybe you guys do. But, you know, we had a young woman there, and they attempted rape, and she shot the guy, and no charges were brought, even though she wasn't licensed or a lot of other things. And it was like, yeah, because the public outcry would have been dramatic. You know, it was like, no. So we see that kind of stuff go on.
And then you had a woman that was did not have her gun on her because she was not allowed, because she tried to obey the law and didn't take her gun onto the campus, and watched out how many people shot in front of her. I can't remember the exact name, but that was one of the things that happened several years ago. And, you know, she became a very pro-gun advocate for being able to carry on campuses. And I think she was one that was helped make that such a successful deal. Is because of, you know, her testimony. She was like, I was the one that was trying to obey the law. That's why I did not take my gun into that classroom. And anyway, I mean, you see this stuff like that. I don't know. We need to pray for these people over in Scotland. Pray for this little girl. I pray that she can get delivered. I mean, basically, they're going to try to make an example of her. And I mean, that's what you see it when you see people that are standing up for the criminals and defending the criminals. When you got these, you know, the Syrian, Pakistanis, whatever these camel jockeys are, trying to, you know, molest a 12-year-old girl. You know that they've done this before. You can tell by watching the videos that this is something it's whatever you want to call it. You want to call it part of their culture, whatever it is. But it is, I mean, that's what they're over there. That's what they're doing. And, you know, they're there to steal, kill, destroy. You know, it's just a mess.
Yep. Very.
Historically,
very
if you guys have never thought about this, but historically, when there is an invasion, a foreign invasion from, you know, another nation invading another nation, a historical tactic of dominating the local population is raping the women and raping the young women. And this is something in time immemorial. If you look through, it doesn't matter where in the world there has been conflict or war, that is a military tactic. I hate to say it that way, but it is. It's a military tactic, and it's one more thing where they're wanting it doesn't get reported, or it gets underreported, or like you were saying, Jason, you know, that they're just a different culture, and this is, you know, they just said they're misunderstanding the culture of whatever nation they're in or whatever. That's all hogwash. It's all hogwash. This is a domineering military tactic that these guys are coming into these westernized nations, and I can't prove it, but I'm telling you, I believe that they have been encouraged and they have been wound up to and told It's free for the picking, guys. You're not going to get charged. If you do, you're going to get released from jail. Just go do this. And because I'll tell you, it's not just England. It's not just Scotland. It's happening in Spain. It's happening in Austria. It's happening in Germany. It's happened all through continental Europe, the same stuff. And it's just hard for me to believe that that's a coincidence. I think it is a tactic of war against our people.
Yeah, it's a psyop. It's that giant finger in the face that well, you can't even protect your
women and your kids. Yeah.
So.
Yep.
Yeah, indeed. I mean, and you look at it; it is happening all over Canada. I mean, it's same thing up there. And I've been watching some of the videos that and some of the stuff that Derek's been sending me from up there. And I mean, it's sometimes it just leaves you speechless. You know, and the thing is like, I mean, I'm glad that we're getting some of these dirt bags out of here. But man, some of these other places, they just keep welcoming them and bringing them in and funding them. And it's just, it's insanity. I mean, you stop and think, and that's the thing. It's like, you stop and think, and it's like, okay, what do people expect to happen? I mean, are people just that brainwashed? Are they that stupid that they think this is a good idea? I mean, there's some of them that, I mean, they just think that it's okay. And I don't think that it's, I don't know. I don't even know how to describe it.
Well, I think in some cases they are just that brainwashed, Jason. I really do. I think we have gotten to the point now, at least in American society, that we're so divided that common sense and logic and jurisprudence and whatever the case may be, that is all out the window. It is simply, if you, I don't know, I'll just use this as a basic example. If you voted for Trump, I hate you, and I stand against everything that you believe in. And I think on the other side of that coin is, you know, if you voted for Harris, then I hate you, and I stand. I really believe that. And y'all correct me if I'm off base. I think the common sense and logic of people thinking for themselves, not getting caught up in the Republican or the Democrat or whatever, I think that's gone. I think on the whole, that is gone in society. The independent thinking of the individual, and this may be a different topic, but I'm a guy that believes in the individual, and I want to make sure I say this right. I'm not talking about the communion of the church and the communion of the saints. I'm just talking about the pulling yourself up by the bootstrings, the pioneer spirit of the individual, not having to rely on handouts and that sort of thing. Of if you're hungry, you go to work, and you're not hungry anymore. That's how that works. I think we're so far removed from that type of spirit in this country, the pioneer spirit of getting things done, and we have fallen into, and I'm the population as a whole, of dependence. And out of dependence, you lose the individual. And when you lose the individual, you do rely on CNN or Fox News or whatever it is to tell you what to think. And instead of thinking for yourself. And I really believe we've gotten to the point of where we've maybe tipped over of people are just that brainwashed, Jason. I guess that's I'm agreeing with you. I think they're just that brainwashed.
Well, I think that so many people, they think when they watch the news that they're getting the truth, and they get that mixed up. They think that they're reporting on facts, and this is the way that it is. And, you know, and it's simply not so much of the time.
Well, I would liken it. The thing I thought about while we were just talking about that is, you know, they've reduced it to a two-party choice or a two-party system or two choices, and they picked the choices, you know.
Yeah.
So when you let somebody do that, I mean, you know, well, you can be a liberal or you can be a conservative or you can be a Democrat or you can be a Republic, but those are the only choices you have. And it's like, what if we want to do it God's way? Or
there you go.
What about this? You know, they don't want to ask those. They don't want to answer those questions. It's not that they don't want to ask them. They don't want to answer them. So
think about in the history of this country, last week we talked about the anniversary of what happened with Randy Weaver up in Idaho. And you think about the history of the history that we know of this country, going back to the Pilgrims. I mean, really, going back to the Puritans and the revolutionaries, those colonists that rose up against England. And you stop and think that the most dangerous character to a government, the most dangerous actor to a government, isn't a gangster. It isn't the opposition party. It isn't any of that. It's the individual. It's the guy that is willing to stand up and say, hey, I just want to be separate. I don't want to take part in your programs. I don't want to take part in your processes. I want to be left alone. For some reason, and we know the reasons, but that is the most feared person in the system, is the guy who just wants to be left alone. And that doesn't make sense to me. It's an oxymoron, because you would think the guy that wants to be left alone just wants to be left alone. What do they care?
But it's contagious.
It's contagious, Jason. I was just about to say the same thing, is they can't let that catch on. Because if it catches on, we will learn we really don't need them, do we? Yeah. Anyways.
That's what they fear.
Yep. So that's in the hive mindset that we're talking about, with a two-party system like what Tim was talking about and all of that, that understand that's what they fear the most about us, is not being dependent and telling others the truth of we don't need that. We don't need that system. There's a greater system. There's the system of God and Christ and the way that it should be. And I personally am one that believes, you know, when we talk about Babylon and coming out from underneath her, it certainly is meant for a time like this. We should be more minded in our faiths than getting caught up in this two-party junk. I don't know. To me, it's like a hockey game or a football game. They really just want us sitting on either side of the field. That way they know where we're at and we can be controlled. Yeah. So...
Yeah, and if anybody missed that program, I did get that one posted within the last couple of days up on Rumble. Fantastic program that we had last week. And just a lot of people don't know the story of the Weaver family and don't remember Ruby Ridge. So I've been shocked about how many people. That was a common thing that I've just grown up hearing. Worth checking out.
Absolutely.
Yeah, well, and you know, speaking about invaders and invadees and this and that, I saw a headline that said Israel was spotted in Damascus, and talking about it was an article talking about the troops over there that have. I don't know what they're doing over there. I really couldn't get any information on it, but IDF over there in Damascus, I mean, that's kind of interesting. That seems like what's happening, and, you know, it's not like we didn't expect it, but it's definitely interesting. What are they doing over there?
Mm-hmm. Well, it depends on who you ask, right? I mean, but they supposedly they have what the Druze is over there. They're trying to put them down, and they have whatever the any other groups. And it's like, well, wherever there's somebody who's a against them or has any words for you. We got to jump on that with both feet. And I think isn't that an invasion of a foreign country? I mean, really? I mean, even with provocation, you don't just go kick the door down and go in there and jump on things. So,
well, I think that they were probably behind trying to run Assad out of there, is what my thinking is.
That's right.
And then they're going in and trying. Basically, they had their minions and they had their soldiers and they sent in their foot soldiers to get rid of Assad, and now they're going to go back in there. I mean, that's just. I mean, I think that's the way that they work, you know. But it's
we've discussed it here before. Just remember that the group that overthrew Assad was ISIS. It was a bunch of militant Muslims that overthrew a westernized nation that was not an enemy to anyone. And now the Jewish state of Israel is coming in to get rid of, or it appears they're trying to get rid of, the ISIS fighters that overthrew Assad, even though Israel and America supported the ISIS fighters that went in to overthrow Assad. So it's just a constant state of chaos, right? And conflict. I mean, that's what Esau Edom is good for, is constant war and living by the sword.
Yeah, that author of confusion, you know, I mean, when you see that, and I agree, I mean, when you follow the money, it's dizzying. It's like, so, I understand the axiom that, you know, the enemy of my enemy is my friend up to a point, but there's a lot of confusion there that goes on, and a lot of things that happen that just leave a guy scratching his head. But when you back up and look at the macro view of it and see what's going on, it's really not about a particularly targeted area or a targeted outcome. It's about just the sowing of confusion into everything for their advantage.
There is... if you followed this stuff over the last, I don't know, 20 years now, whatever, how long we've been in the Middle East, I guess it's been 22 years since the supposed war in Iraq, when America went over there to overthrow our former friend Saddam Hussein. When you look at this, something that is historically accurate that we don't really talk about is there was this idea of caliphates and the Levant. And that's the Levant. And it basically, for folks that maybe aren't familiar with those terms, it's a, I don't know how you would say it, a Muslim district of all of these different lands where maybe they are independent states, but they fall under one central authority of a Muslim ruler, so to speak. And that has been the case in history. But here is the real story behind that. That is the Greater Israel Project. And what the Jews, what the State of Israel has tried to convince us is it's the Muslims, those bad Muslims, those bad ragheads, which I'm telling you, I'm no friend. I'm no friend of that religion or of that culture. But what they've tried to convince us is this is the enemy and that's what they're wanting to do. Well, isn't that just one of Satan's tricks? That they want us to think that it's this group of people doing it, when in actuality it's what they're doing with the Greater Israel Project, where they're trying to continually expand their land and put it under their control. And really, I think that's what's happening here in Syria, especially in Damascus, is we know the significance of Damascus and that area from the Apostle Paul's travels and his conversion and that sort of thing. And I think this is just the children of Satan trying to claim up land that was never theirs in order to control narratives and to build their own Levant, the Greater Israel Project. That's, I think that's what's happening in that region right now. Nothing is promised to them. They know it's not their birthright, so they are just simply trying to steal and take everything they can.
Yeah, I agree. In 1948, when they, you know, the UN did their resolution and all that, Ben-Gurion, he was like the first, or how do you say that name, but he was the first PM of the Israelis, and
right.
He said he, you know, the Arab countries, they rejected the UN proposal, but the Israelis didn't really accept any of the border proposals either. I mean, they went into that; it was like nobody agreed on it, but we're going to do it anyway. So
right.
that's part of the confusion that has led to today too, is the fact that no specified areas. And again, I think it runs a lot deeper than that, but that's some of the, what do you want to call it, mechanics of modern day politicization that's going on there. Sat back.
You mentioned David Ben-Gurion, and I'm sorry I'm going off script, but I want to ask you all this question. Tim, have you ever changed your name? Are you still going by the same name you were born? What about you, Jason? You ever change your name?
Nope. Never have.
Neither have I. Never even considered it. Never even crossed my mind that, like, you know, and I kind of equate it, and I know it's not the same. There's always, you know, kids get adopted or whatever. But I've always kind of considered people that change their names are like horse thieves. Like, you know, they're just running
for
something.
They got a reason to change their name. Yeah.
They got
to,
yeah. Right. And you said David Ben-Gurion, you know, that's not his name.
No.
That's not the name he was born with in Poland. And if you start looking at all, I mean, it's not just one of them. If you look at these prime ministers of Israel since 48, and Tim, you hit on this a few weeks ago about how many are associated with Ukraine. This is not their names. The names that we're told are their names are not their names. Like 9 out of 10 of them have changed their names. And I don't know why that strikes me as just so nefarious. But like I said, I look at that as, you know, those are guys trying to make it into Arkansas because they just stole a remuda of horses. And, you know, they might have been John Smith in Texas, but now they're James, you know, they're James Smith in Arkansas. And I just look at that as just downright underhanded and criminal that all of these people that we think we know their names, it's not their names. What are they hiding? And I don't know. I just, that was on my mind. And sometimes I say what I want to say.
It's kind of a meme. And the other place that happens a lot is, Hollywood.
So, there you go.
You know,
that's a coincidence, huh, Tim?
Yeah. If you believe in those things. Exactly.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Anyways, Jason, I'm sorry.
No, don't apologize. Not at all. I thought that was good. Yeah, we'll go, moving on, talking more about Israel. I seen that Israel forces demolished 1,000 buildings in Gaza City, Palestine officials say. And I'm looking at this and just, man, it's like you hear about another 1,000 buildings. It's like, how many buildings do they have over there? And how fast are they rebuilding? Because, I mean, it just seems like there's 1,000 burning down or destroyed here and 100 here and 200 there. And, I mean, it just seems like every week there's stuff that is destroyed, and man, there's just a lot of people that are dying over there. A lot of people dying, a lot of people held captive. You know, people dying of starvation and not being able to get any help. What's the status on this?
Well, I'd call it scorched earth. You know?
Yeah, exactly right. Yeah. I'm reminded, and I'll go down just a quick sentimental path. You know, I like to occasionally bring up the war between the states. And if you remember Sherman's March to the Sea, when he came down from Tennessee and went through Georgia, through Atlanta, he burned everything that was behind him. And as they went from farm to farm and homestead to homestead,
they made it a point that they shot the milk cow. And then they burned it so they couldn't even eat the beef off of it. And they did. They set fire to the chicken coops. They went into the haylofts and set the barns on fire. They did everything they could to make sure, you know, and William Tecumseh Sherman was an SOB who I hope is, I don't know. I don't know what I hope on him, but I hope he got his at some point, because one of his favorite hobbies and one of his unwritten commands to his troops was to kill every teenage boy they could find on a farm, because they wanted to make sure there were no more Southern men that could produce Southern men. And I kind of see the same thing happening here. They're just destroying everything that possibly could give life to these Gazans, the hospitals, the buildings, the stores. You know, we've talked about it of wounding kids so that when the parents come to get them from the streets, they can get three for one, right? And it's just satanic. I don't know of a better way of saying it.
This is starvation that's taken place, and I mean, you look at the number that of these children that have starved to death because they can't get food or water. I mean, it's just
Basically, it's not a destruction of. They were talking about eliminating Hamas infrastructure. Well, the truth of the matter is, when you go in and treat an area like this, you're not just destroying infrastructure; you're destroying superstructure and everything else. I mean. It's definitely, and the amount of targeting on hospitals, you know, it's like, well, the excuse seems to be that this group or that group, just like we were talking about the Syrian thing, all we need is just to label it correctly. We can do whatever we want. You know, it's like, well, they're operating out of that hospital. So they're operating out of every hospital? I mean, it's like, you know, and this is what we see. I mean, it's just, it's annihilation or genocide. I mean, actually, if you want to get down to it, that area is, and I don't even really particularly like that word, but, you know, that's what's going on here. When you deny people food, water, and any type of shelter, that becomes a genocide event. So,
yeah. I was going through, I was trying to find this. No, that wasn't it. I came across a news story of just what do you believe and who do you believe? And I haven't been able to pull up the story. I thought I would be able to pull it up pretty quick, but it was just a couple days ago. And what Tim was citing as far as the reason, the official reason why they keep saying that they're attacking in Gaza is all these Hamas leaders. Well, a couple of days ago, Israel announced that an airstrike killed the remaining leadership of Hamas. So if you believe what Israel is telling you, on one hand, there is no more Hamas. There are no more Hamas leaders, but they sure as heck keep destroying what's left in Gaza. So which one is it? So anyways, that was the point I was trying to make.
Yeah, we got a caller on the line. We're going to go to the phone lines real quick. Hello, caller.
Hello, it's Kevin.
Hey, Kevin, how are you?
Real fine. We're getting cool weather now.
It kind of changed this last week. It just all across here, didn't it?
Yeah, sure did. Yeah. I got in kind of late this morning. Did you cover what the Ninth Circuit Court did about the tariffs?
Not yet.
You did?
Not yet.
Oh, okay.
we're gonna try to get to it. What do you know about it, Kevin?
Just that Trump's statement that it'll destroy the country. Absolutely destroy it. Who's gonna wanna invest in this country? You know, manufacturing and everything else. It'll kill everything. It'll kill stock market. It's going to upset our economy, maybe the global economy. And it's fortunate that they got a hold on it before it gets instituted. So it's very that Ninth Circuit Court. It'd be a good place to start cleaning house.
I think they just did that yesterday too, didn't they, Kevin?
Yeah.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, and secondly, did you talk about Cracker Barrel? Give them some more free advertising?
No, but we will, Kevin. I promise.
Oh, okay. Because do you think that Uncle Herschel wanted Cracker Barrel to be serving beer and wine?
I went there about
a year ago, and I'll never go back. That's on their menu. They serve beer and wine. That's not a family-friendly atmosphere for me. What do you gentlemen think?
I agree.
Right. I've never wanted to drink a beer while I was eating chicken and dumplings, Kevin, so I understand.
Yeah.
I didn't even know that they did that. I haven't been in a Cracker Barrel in quite some time. I used to really enjoy. I mean, I liked it for breakfast. I don't think I've ever eaten any other meal there, but I used to go in there for breakfast once in a while, and I sure liked it. They sure had a good breakfast, but man, they sure got. I can't believe how much stuff I've seen and how many people were upset about them getting rid of Uncle Herschel. I was. I mean, it was a big deal.
Yeah. It is a big deal. There's one in the county seat here. And I went by when we were doing this, and there weren't 20 cars in the whole parking lot. Then I went by about a day later, it seemed to be filling up again. I mean, memories just disappear. People know. They have no fortitude to stand up and say, "No, you can't do this to us," you know. That's what you're saying. Like, there's an overwhelming push to get rid of our heritage. I mean, when you mentioned that a little while ago, and man, that's a fact. There were two good videos this week. Did you see the one where the little girl in Scotland?
Yeah, we talked about that already this morning. Yep.
Yeah, that was really good. And that other woman using the N-word against, was that UK or was that the United States?
That was up in Minnesota. That was Minneapolis.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, that's royal. Yeah. And she's had enough. Yeah, she'd be a good poster girl. Man, that's wonderful. Well, thank you again, very much.
You're welcome, Kevin. Thanks for calling. You have a good day.
You too. God bless you.
God bless. Bye. Okay, where were we at, guys?
We were talking about Damascus and Syria. Actually, we were talking about Gaza, what we were talking about.
Okay. Yeah. Well, we are just going on
with Gaza. Oh, go ahead, Jason. We're at a break.
Yeah, we're going to take a break here in just a minute. And we'll be right back after the top of the hour.
And fears. They move us through illusion and confusion of the mind, and by changing subtle meanings to the words between the lines.
and the methods you can use. It's a blueprint and the plan they all rely on. And it's written in the protocols, the learned elders of Zion. Move along now, all you little bovines. They'll tell you it's a forgery. Tell you it's a fake, that some anti-Semite wrote it for the money that he'd make. It's been slanderized and demonized and labeled racist hate by the same who stake a claim to its creation. Now I'm not here to try to argue if it's false or if it's true, if the author was a commie or the likes of you know who. What I'm really trying to tell you and to get across to you is it's a blueprint to the downfall of our nation. There's a cause to the chaos that's occurring in the land. There's a road to communism. There's a global master plan. You'll never read about it in a book of history, cause it's been hidden from the masses to control their destiny. It's the news behind the news and the methods that they use. It's the blueprint and the plan they all rely on. And it's written in the protocols of the learned elders of Zion. So if you ever get a chance to get a copy of your own, just remember not to ever leave it lying around your home. Cause you never know just where their snoopy news reporters roam. One might even be a friend or close relation. It's the cause to the chaos that's occurring in the land. It's the source of communism. It's the global master plan. You'll never read about it in a book of history, cause it's been hidden from the masses to control our destiny. It's the news behind the news and the methods that they use. It's a blueprint and the plan they all rely on. And it's written in the protocols of the learned elders of Zion. And it's written in the protocols of the learned elders of Zion. Go ahead and wail at that wall.
And we're back, and you're listening to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers here on the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network. We're coming to you live this August 30th, 2025. And I'll bring the men back on the line. Are you there, guys?
Yep.
Okay, good.
Yes, sir.
All right, well, let's switch to switching gears and go to some national news. Man, I guess the big news is this another trans shooter at a school, which at first they tried to cover that up a little bit, but it's been getting out there, and it's just nuts about how many of these shooters are trannies.
Well, yeah, quite a few of them.
I was trying to find a list. Yeah. I mean, I've seen it. I've had people, and I've seen it in social media and stuff, and a list of them and everything like that. But it's one of those things. It's like, I mean, they're definitely trying to cover it up because, you know, if you try to Google a list of shooters that are trans, they don't give you much information. You've got to go through some videos and find some different stuff and actually try to put it. But, I mean, it's like we look at all these school shootings that we've had over the last – I don't know, several years, and, you know, trans, they're trans and they're on drugs. They're on psychotropic, you know, head drugs, and which I mean, just, I mean, to talk about insanity. I mean, you know, it's just nuts. They've got, I mean, I don't know what to say. It's,
well, they're crazy.
Yeah.
They're insane. I mean, it was, it's funny to me. I thought about this, and I there's a couple things I want to say on this. Number one, I think red flag gun laws are straight out of the pits of hell. I think they're evil. I don't agree with them or anything like that. But isn't it interesting that the same libtards that pushed the red flag gun laws, because this man, it, woman, whatever, in Minnesota, the weapons that were used in this shooting were supposedly bought legally and that sort of stuff. But these liberals, these communists that want these red flag gun laws, are the same people who removed gender dysphoria from the American Psychiatric Association's list of disorders. So if you stop and think about it, it's chaos, because they want red flag gun laws, but they don't want these insane people to be called insane. Well, how are the red flag gun laws supposed to work? Because if this person had been diagnosed with gender dysphoria, would they have been able to go buy a gun legally in Minneapolis? I don't know. I don't know if you all have thought about that, but they basically took a psychiatric disorder that would have prevented this person supposedly in Minnesota from buying these guns, and they called them okay. They said they're perfectly sane, and then this happens.
Yeah. Well, and I always like the question of whether you're mentally incompetent on some of the purchase lists. But, you know, the first thing
right.
I tell you is that if you think you're crazy, then you're sane, you know, or because you don't identify as that way. I mean, a quick look for me showed that the Colorado Springs shooter identified as non-binary. And I think the Denver shooter was trans, and the Aberdeen shooter was trans. The Nashville shooter was trans, and that was, you know, that's up to 2023. So there have been more since. And
the Uvalde shooter at Robb Elementary was also trans.
Yeah. So we have a pattern? I mean, you know, evolving here. And when you look at, maybe I'd have a question on the form that says, do you identify as non-binary or trans or LGBTQT or whatever? But the fact of the matter is that when you start looking at that kind of stuff, there's definitely there's a lot of misnomer. It was funny because when I was doing my search, or when I was looking some of that up like Jason did, I looked too because I was curious, but Snopes, they popped up on there and said, no, that's not true at all.
Right.
So,
and you know it's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, funny.
Jason, will you let me go down a road for about, I don't know, 2 or 3 minutes on
Absolutely.
This? I started looking into, and I started something I didn't want to do, but in the spirit of trying to understand better, I knew that gender dysphoria had for many, many years been labeled as a psychiatric disorder. And I started looking into this whole trans surgery and the history of the psychiatry behind it. And would you guys like to take a guess at what type of person was the, I don't know, who performed the first trans surgery? You want to guess at what tribe they may be from?
Esau Edom?
The guy's name was Magnus Hirschfeld. He died in 1935. He was born in 1868. And he was a homosexual medical doctor from Germany, and he is credited with leading, he is heralded as the grandfather of trans whatever people, and his works
going back to the late 1800s are currently being used in this discussion of whether or not trans affected people are crazy or not. Now, this man himself was crazy. And he was also he fled Germany for his life because this was the kind of people that the Nazis were trying to get out of Germany at the time. And I won't go into great detail about his life, but to say that he was a filthy human being would be giving him a lot of credit. He was a filthy human being. He was a dirty Jew. And he brought this to America because we welcomed him with open arms in New York. And he brought this idea to America and also took it to other parts of the world, like Asia and South America. And up until his dying day, he was trying to convince the medical community to change the diagnosis on the trans community. So he performed the first sex reassignment surgery in the world. This Jew doctor did, and to this day he is credited with spearheading this movement. Isn't that interesting that that's where it came from?
That's very interesting. I'm surprised that it was that it was that old. I mean, I didn't think that people were that perverted.
Oh yeah, I was too.
Back then, I wouldn't have thought that. I mean, I didn't even think New York was that bad back then. But if they accepted him with open arms, it's like, dang.
They did. The community, he was accepted. He became a pivotal part of the bohemian kind of counterculture community in Greenwich Village, New York, and really was something. But this is interesting. I just a couple little tidbits here. When he came to this country originally, when he was speaking to because you got to remember the Germans produced a lot of psychiatrists and psychologists, you know, think about Sigmund Freud and all of that kind of nonsense. When he would speak to those communities here in the United States, he would only speak in German, and he would openly speak about homosexuals and sex reassignment and all that. When he would speak to Americans, he would speak in English and would never mention that. So he was covering his own tracks, so to speak. But just a couple little things that I found interesting. He was a Zionist and a Kabbalist. And I learned more than I cared to learn, but it's interesting. It's one of the gods that these Kabbalists worship is a god called Einsof. And it is a male-female snake god that has both genders. So I had never heard that before, and looking into it, yeah, it's a real thing. This is to this day, these Jew Kabbalists, they have a deity that they worship that is a serpent that has both male and female gender. Kind of helps explain some things.
It does.
Yeah, and one more thing, just real fast, when you were talking about you didn't realize that that's how things were even way back then. This is a show for another time, but it bears saying, I'm not going to sit here and praise Nazi Germany or anything like that, but I think one of the things that does not get reported in our history books to our children is one of the reasons why Adolf Hitler was so incredibly popular. Remember, he was elected. He wasn't a dictator that took over by force. He was elected with 90% of the vote when he was voted in as Chancellor of Germany. One of the reasons why he was elected so popularly is that he promised the German people to rid them of the wickedness of homosexuality and sexual deviancy. Because it was so rampant in Germany, and it was because of people like this Magnus Hirschfeld.
So, I read that before, that some of the first things he enacted to help Germany through the Great Recovery was he totally outlawed homosexuality and pornography, and he outlawed interest was the other one. You know, those were like at the top
usury
of the list.
Yep.
Yeah. So.
going along with that, Tim, you know, here we are almost 100 years, doggone near 100 years from the rise of the Nazi Party. And what was really happening there is you had Hitler and the Nazi Party calling a spade a dirty shovel. They said no more porn, no more homos, and no more usury. Well, it just happens to be that there was one group of people that were responsible for all of that, and that was who they were going to get out of Germany, and it still continues today.
Yeah. Wow.
Well, and this is not a new problem. I mean, if you go back to, I think it's Deuteronomy 22, probably right in there or so, you know, there was one of the commands in there that women weren't to wear that which pertained unto a man, and a man was
to
put on a woman's garments, because that was, and it wasn't just a clothes thing. It went a lot deeper than that if you read into it a little bit. I mean, so this is as old as the, probably the, you know, it came out of the garden on a hobby horse, but yeah
100%. Going back to this trans thing real fast in Minnesota, I thought it was interesting that I guess this this thing left some journals or whatever, and one of the things that they were saying in their own words is they regret ever being brainwashed into believing this trans stuff. I thought that was interesting personally.
Yep. I wish I never would have brainwashed myself. Was one of the ones that I seen. I'm tired of being trans. And yeah, well, I mean, well, sometimes, and it's like you try to think about that, and it's like, I mean, I can't even, I don't even want to, sometimes I don't even want to let my brain go there. It's like, what is, these people are seriously messed up in the head to even entertain thoughts like that. I mean, they're just, yeah. And when did we decide that this was okay and for children to be able to decide and make these decisions on their own? I mean, yeah, it's a mess.
Yeah, it's not woke, it's warped. Yeah, definitely. And I think that one of the other things I think is in the one article they were trying to, you know, tie this back into that, what was it, order of nine angles and all that. It's a satanic order. I mean, I hadn't even really heard of it, to be honest, but at the time I was reading about it. But, you know, they try to tie it back into Nazism and a lot of other things. And I think we kind of just already debunked that, but, you know, to some degree.
Yeah.
But the satanic angle is definitely there. I mean, this is of Satan and his ilk, and its depravity. These young people are paying the price. If not now, they realize it later. And they're making changes that are unchangeable and untenable. They can't live with them. And it's really very sad that you're not gay. So.
Yeah, you mentioned that with the homosexual stuff and that sort of thing, and trying to tie that with the Nazis and the satanic rituals and all that. It's funny because, kind of like we were talking earlier, I think that's just them casting that out on the Nazis when it was them that were doing it all along. That there's really not, and I'll give you, I didn't mean for this to be Nazi History Day, but, you know, there was, if you want to know how Hitler and the Nazis felt about homosexuals, that there was a great purging of the Nazi Party because there had been a one man in particular named Ernst Röhm. And he had sort of started grooming guys and bringing guys in that were homosexuals because he was a homosexual himself. And they were arrested by the Nazi Party and executed. So you know, if you're saying that the Nazis, and I'm not you, Tim, but the enemies are saying that the Nazis were a bunch of folks that participated in homosexuality and that sort of thing. There is real evidence that they cleaned their own house by executing homosexuals that were holding positions in the Nazi Party. I think that's a pretty strong stance when it comes to how they felt about things. I don't know how anyone could argue that, but just a little piece of information there.
Well, and one of the things that I thought was interesting was is they're still casting about for a reason that he chose that as a target, this Catholic business. And I think, and I have no idea, I didn't know the guy, I have no idea what his reasoning was, but I think it's interesting that if there is a church group out there that has warped godly roles of men and women, in regards to scriptural and biblical purposes, I think they're at the top of the list as far as quote unquote Christian supposedly institutions. And so I'm wondering if that could be part of the reason that that's why they're in that cauldron of attack and everything. I mean, these people, he was unhappy with what he had become. They're out there condoning it, they're just going to love everybody. And they, sometimes you hate the people that don't stand up that are supposed to stand up. So anyway.
There you go.
We got a caller on the line. We're going to go to the phone lines if I can push the right button. Hello, caller.
Hello.
How you doing?
Good, good. Is this Scriptures for America?
Yep.
Oh, wow. I didn't even know I was calling into a radio show.
Oh, okay. Yep, we're live. We're on the radio right now.
Oh, that's cool. I was looking at one of your booklets on salvation, and was that Colonel Jack Moore getting baptized by Pastor Peters?
Yep.
Wow. Okay, I didn't know that. Like, what's the story behind that?
He had been a guest at our camps for several years. Well, not several years. He'd done quite a bit of speaking, and he was there one day, and the day that he realized he marched down into the water. They were having a baptism. They were doing baptisms after the baptism class, and he wanted to be one of the first ones to march down there and get baptized. And so that's the story behind that.
Brother, that kind of convicts me.
Yeah, when Jack was one of those people, he had for a long time, he had bought the lie of that, confess your sins and that's all you needed to do, maybe be sprinkled and accept Jesus into your heart. And he preached that for a long time. And when he realized the truth that he needed to be baptized, boy, he was one that he realized that he'd been taught a lie. He'd preached a lie and he wanted to make it right.
You know, brother, could you pray for me?
Absolutely. What's your first name?
I need to study that out more. You know, I really need to, because when I saw that, and I had wondered that, because I read this is a whole weird backstory and all, but someone gave me a booklet by Ted Whalen on the subject, and I actually dismissed the person as a heretic because of that booklet. And then I started to read it, and I'm like, well, I can't argue with some of this. On the very subject of baptism. And then I started, listening to Pete Peters, and I was already kind of into a lot of similar things, especially with God's law and that sort of thing, the kingdom.
Right.
And so someone, I started to look into the baptism thing, and it kind of, I don't know, it's just, I watched Pastor Peters, some of his videos, and I had saw Jack Moore, and I was on a website called I'm not going to name the site, but Something Elect, and because I don't want to endorse everything on that site, but there was some good stuff on there, and they had some stuff from Colonel Jack Moore, and I saw a gospel presentation he gave, where it was like the typical Romans road you'd see in most churches, right? And then I heard Jack Moore in a video with Pete Peters say, well, if you're truly born again, then, you get baptized to get born again. So I was like, well, that kind of contradicted what Jack Moore. So that must have been from earlier.
Yeah. Jack Moore, actually, in even some of his books, he He talked about that, but he was one. He changed when he learned the truth, and the truth is that baptism is essential for salvation.
Yeah.
And when he realized that, the first thing that he did was got baptized.
So, what's the best place to go find in your area, like?
We found that you can generally contact, depending on where you're at. I mean, call me back after we sure. get off the radio. But we've got people all across the country that, depending on where you're at, we might be able to hook you up with somebody that is on our ministry that can meet you mm-hmm. and baptize you. We've done that before. We've also had people contact the local Church of Christ and most of the time that has been successful. Not all the time, but usually they're willing to baptize somebody for their remission of sins in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Okay. Yeah, Lord willing. Yeah, I'll call back after. There was some other reason I was calling. I wanted to order some stuff on the site of. About the public law.
Okay. Yep.
That
public law 97-280.
Yes. Yes. 97-280. I was thinking, man, I gotta show this to some people, and probably hang it up in my room actually. kind of rub it into people's faces too.
Yeah, we've got several books on the subject of baptism and salvation that we offer free of charge. So we make those available to anybody that would like. And we got one that's called Acts 2:38. We got another one that's titled How to Become a Christian. Fantastic resources. Also, if you go to the website scriptures4america.org and hit the resources page, I got four or five videos that I posted up there that are on. They're short videos. They're videos that I recorded to Pastor Peters, just basically breaking down, going through scripture from the beginning to the end on how and why you need to be baptized and what a proper baptism is. And I would strongly recommend those videos. They're fantastic.
Brother, it's interesting too, because my great grandfather from my mother's side was a Church of Christ preacher.
Okay.
Which I don't know. I just kind of wonder maybe if, like, that was another sign from the Lord, even, like, in his sovereignty. He kind of, I don't know.
Well, call me back after the top of the hour, and definitely. We'll talk then.
Sounds good, brother. God bless you.
Thank you.
What an awesome call.
Yeah, it was, and it's as simple as that. Phone number is 970-224-4203. Kind of funny. I don't think he even thought that we were on the radio right now. we do. And I just wanted to say that anybody out there that does want some information on how to become a Christian, feel free to contact me. Shoot me an email, jason@sfaw.org, include your name and address and tell me what you want, and I'll make sure that it gets sent out to you. We got some really good information on the subject, and do want to make sure that people know that that is available, and continue to check out our resources page. Just trying to get as much information up there as possible. So going back to where were we at? Still talking about this tranny in Minnesota?
Wherever you want to be. Yeah, wherever you
want to
be.
Well, let's move on from that. Oh, let's go to Cracker Barrel. Go woke, go broke. And like Kevin mentioned earlier, they seem to they lost a lot of money after that. And that was one of those things that people voted with their dollars and said no, didn't they?
Yeah, sure did. And you could watch, Cracker Barrel's publicly traded company. You could watch I actually put in a tie to kind of keep an eye on the on their financial prices. And, they come out with that, and they just got hammered. And it's such a small thing. Somebody said, well, I don't understand why they're raising so much stink over something like that when there's bigger fish out there, you know. And it's like, but it's that straw that breaks the camel's back, you know. I mean,
well, it's like what we were talking about last week. It's America. It's you know, you think of an American restaurant. I mean, Cracker Barrel with all the knickknacks and the antique stuff. It's like taking, you know, a step in it back into the past, into history. It's like, and it's the fireplace, the guns hanging over the fireplace. It's, and why would they not want to destroy that? I mean, it's, you know, that's who we are. That's our people.
The key there is, yeah, that's the wrong America. It's not the America that they want. They're making America in their image, and they don't want. And if you don't believe what I just said, as far as making America in their own image, you know, I feel like I do this all the time, but I keep when something like this happens, I want to not be able to say this, but I can't. I keep having to say it. So the CEO of Cracker Barrel that got put in there 2 years ago is a Jew.
Right.
First Jewish CEO they've had. And here we are 2 years later, and they're literally whitewashing this, taking down Americana and making it into a sterile. We were just talking about these, you know, is it a male? Is it a female? We don't really know. It's just sort of there. Well, that's what they were doing. They were just whitewashing Cracker Barrel. They were taking the old white guy sitting down in the rocking chair by the Cracker Barrel, Uncle Herschel, and wiping that away and just making this sterile logo, because they don't, like Kevin rightly said, they don't want us to know who we are. They want to take away that sense of community. And I'm telling you guys something y'all know, but I mean, it doesn't matter if you're from the Midwest or out West or down in the South like me. That was a common theme. You know, I am old enough that I would go with my grandfather to the little locally owned grocery store, and the men would sit around and spit and chew and smoke their pipes and talk about everything that was going on in the world. That was the sense of community. That was America. That is what we did. And they don't want us to know that. They don't want us to have a sense of community, because if we start talking about it, we may figure it out. And if we figure it out, we may go back to that kind of independent mindset we were talking about earlier. And that is the last thing they want. They want us just to be in the hive mentality of going along to get along and just being, you know, when you really stop and think about it, I thought about, and this is such a divergent thought from Cracker Barrel, but I think it goes right along with it. They don't want us remembering where we came from, because they want to herd us into where they want us to go. And if you really want to stop and think about it, all we really are free range human beings on a tax farm.
Yeah.
They just want us to roam around thinking we're free and making our own decisions. As long as we keep paying taxes and as long as we keep, you know, funding the machine, we can roam around and be free range. But they don't want us straying off the path of that. And I don't know. To me, it's funny that I keep waiting for the news story to pop up where I can't point my finger back to Esau Edom, but it sure hasn't happened in a long time. So.
Well, when you look at the primary stockholder on the publicly traded thing with Cracker Barrel, it's BlackRock. You know, I mean, have we seen this kind of behavior from BlackRock before?
And the head of BlackRock is Larry Fink, another Jew, and Larry Fink just got named to the head of the World Economic Forum, replacing Klaus Schwab, another Jew.
Yeah. And so I never read that name that I'm not reminded of that old comic book where they said the king is a fink, you know.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I don't know why that always pops in there, but it's like, wow, that's But you know, I mean, when we see this, we see them trying to break down those things. I mean, do they even know or do they even care who their customer base is? You know, we don't want to go in there and celebrate all these warped and twisted things. We want to go in there and celebrate our family and our friends. And I mean, to me, it was always a fun thing to get to go there. I haven't been to Cracker Barrel very often. We don't have any locally, but I know it's just like, Jason, I'd be out traveling. It's like, where are we going to go have breakfast? Let's go to Cracker Barrel, you know? Oh, cool. That's
there you
fun.
Go.
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, but.
Let me pose this to you, Tim. Do you think this was done on purpose because they want to bankrupt Cracker Barrel and just get it off the highways, get it off the interstate?
It's possible. I think sometimes that there is a greater goal and a lesser goal. The greater goal probably was to change minds and distort and possibly just make people through brand loyalty distort their values. If not, getting it out of there completely is just fine too. You know, I mean, I think they play things, but the fact that they went back or that they're now pulling the plug on that supposedly, which
right.
we'll see, you know, they say one thing and do something else. So do we really know if it's going to change
back? The carefully crafted message there that I've kind of tried to read between the lines, is, what they have come out and said is they're not going to change the logo. And they didn't call out Uncle Herschel. If you read their statement, the official statement, they don't refer to Uncle Herschel as Uncle Herschel, which is the old man in the logo. They refer to him as an old timer. And they basically said, hey, we hear what you've said. We're not going to change the logo. But they never mentioned anything about the stores.
Exactly. Yeah. And they're already, what do you want to call it? Sanitizing them of a lot of that.
Correct.
I mean, so.
Correct.
Yeah.
Anyways.
It's interesting.
You,
and wrong. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just agree 100%. I think it's just, you know, more attack on Americans, American restaurants. I mean, you think about it, and it's like, you know, the you think about the, you know, you walk up to the to a Cracker Barrel and the rocking chairs on the porches. You know, that's what you know, people used to do is they used to go and they used to sit on people's porches and they used to visit. You remember here? I hung out with most of the people that I grew up with were a lot older than I was, but you know, I remember with, you know, spent a lot of time with my grandparents, and that's what they used to do is then they called it visiting. They were, you know, go out and go visit, and you know, they'd have some people, oh, we're going to go visit over here, or we're going to go visiting, and sometimes it's just walking down the street until you saw somebody that was sitting out on their porch and, you know, hey, come over here and have a seat. And they'd just sit down in there and they'd visit. And it was, that's how they socialized. It wasn't social media. It was out and up front and personal, actually talking to people.
Yeah. If you want local change, you have to have local interaction. And that's the thing social media does seriously destroy is there's anything wrong with talking to somebody half the country away, but you're not getting any local interaction.
Right. Well, and I've seen, and I don't know if you guys have noticed this or not, but one of the things that I've noticed is a lot of these people that have severe mental illness or mental problems have a severe addiction to social media. And it's like it's like a fake reality to them. It's like they've created this reality about themselves or about them or this image of who they are, but they can't they can function in a social media aspect, but they can't function with face-to-face conversation with people. Have you guys noticed that at all?
Yeah,
absolutely.
And so have some of the we talked about this a while ago about the AI. They've actually got a name for it now. I can't think of it right at the moment, but you know, and it's kind of the same thing. I mean, these people who are totally interaction online with that kind of stuff, with AI or with the social media, or they become shut down in interpersonal relationships. I mean, they're uncomfortable and unable we can disagree with each other and still be friends, you know, and still be
absolutely,
you know, and have a lot of fun together. Media, the social media and all those sort of things, there's like some higher level of, well, they said that, so that's the way it has to be. And they've almost set up this social media and interactive online stuff is some kind of, well, that's what it says. If it's on the internet, it's got to be that way, you know.
So, well, you add on top of all the social media the rampant use of all these SSRI drugs, these antidepressant drugs that already augment reality, and then you have an augmented reality in social media, and man, that makes a dangerous combination.
Yes. Yeah, you end up with people that are very complacent and able to be steered, and they call it auto suggestion. They're available to be suggested to do and think things that they probably wouldn't otherwise do. You know, I mean, it's like, and I think
gosh, you're describing MK Ultra, Tim. That's just a conspiracy theory.
Yeah, exactly. So, yep. Well, and speaking of that, jumping back to our Minnesota shooter that we were talking about, you know, supposedly his father was a top guy in the CIA, you know, and a DOD contractor for like 20-some years. So
20-plus years, yeah.
Yeah, that's... If that's true.
Yeah, and I don't know if that's true or not, but I think it is, and there's kind of a pattern there as well, don't you think?
Yeah.
The Aurora shooter's father was the supposed the assassin of Donald Trump in Butler, Pennsylvania's father was. That's just probably a coincidence.
Yeah. Well, it's enough of one that if I happened to work for the CIA, I'd be really worried about my children, don't you think?
It's enough of a one that if I found out my neighbors worked for the CIA and they had children, I would probably move. You don't know when they're going to come unhitched. That's crazy. And it's nothing new. If you go back and you guys correct my memory if I'm wrong, I believe the same thing applied to John Hinckley, the guy who tried to kill Reagan. I know his father was associated with the CIA and was one of George Bush's best friends. And their relationship went back to the CIA when George Bush was the director of the CIA. As a matter of fact, I believe the night before the assassination, George and Barbara Bush were having dinner with John Hinckley's family. And the next day, this was when George Bush was the vice president. And the next day, their son tries to kill the president.
Huh.
Well, there's enough there to make a person, give a person pause, make them ask serious questions, or there should be, you know. So,
sure.
For sure. It quacks like a duck and walks like a duck. Hmm. So.
If I'm remembering, I don't want to get off subject, but the Bush brother that you don't remember is Neil Bush. And Neil Bush got all wrapped up in the savings and loan scandals in the 80s. But if I remember correctly, I believe John Hinckley's brother and Neil Bush were best friends and had grown up together in I don't remember, Connecticut or wherever it was. And just let that sink in, that the vice president of the United States, who would have gained by becoming the president if this assassination was successful, was best friends with the brother, or the family were best friends with each other. It just that's a little more of a coincidence to me. I don't know. Crazy stuff.
Yeah, it is.
Well, and the hostility against these churches is rising. So, you know, and that's according to Family Research Council, there's a surge in it. I mean, only had combined years from 2018 to 2021, we only had 286 incidences, which is quite a few in my opinion, but the numbers continue to, you know, that continues to go up as the years go by. We're up over three times the amount of attacks that we had back then on churches.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and that's another question, you know. So as we see this watering down of people's mental states, they attack that. And whether it's a result of not being protected by the churches. I mean, the Bible talks about when the shepherds don't protect the sheep, and I'm not saying it's okay. I'm just saying it may be a result of some of that. I mean, you know, people are upset.
Yes. Well, I seen that down in your neck of the woods there, Will, they looks like they banned the lab-grown meat.
Yes, and there's a growing number of that going across the country. Texas wasn't the first. Texas will probably try to claim to be first, because that's just what Texas does. But there. I think this is 7, 8, 9, maybe seven, other states yep. have done this. Okay, and that's a growing move going across the country, and that's a cool thing when you look at federalism, how the states are supposed to work. That, you know, that the states are just declaring that this stuff is trash, and they're just saying that's not going to happen in Texas. My understanding on this is it's just not that it will it can't be produced in Texas. It's also that it can't be imported in Texas. It can't be sold in Texas, which is awesome. I hope. More states across the country do the exact same thing. Just shut it down. Just don't let it grow.
Yeah.
Some of the states, they don't want government financing, but they're kind of soft on it. It sounds to me like that's a total ban there. So maybe that is one of the first.
I hope they do.
Yeah,
I hope those companies go broke. It's like, you look at this stuff. I mean, it's just a bunch of garbage. I mean, it's horrible for you. You're not supposed to be eating that crap. It's God did it right when he created cows.
Absolutely. Another Texas thing real fast that just to throw out there, Texas joined Arkansas yesterday. The bill was passed, and the governor's going to have to sign it now that ivermectin is now going to be available over the counter in the state of Texas.
Oh, awesome. Oh, that's good. That's fantastic news.
Yeah, it is fantastic. So, once again,
no Texas more smuggling it in from Colorado.
No more. I don't know what you're talking about, but yes, that no more of that. So you should be able to. Now, here's the thing: is there is no mandate that pharmacies have to do this, so it's still going to be up to corporate Walgreens and CVS to do it, or Walmart. That was the one thing that wasn't in the bill. So obviously, if you have some corporations that just say we don't want to do it, that's fine, because I think you should give your money to local mom and pop pharmacies anyways.
Well, and I hope that some of those mom and pop places get on the bandwagon with that and get it in stock.
Quickly.
If you can get the tablets or something by going to a feed store or something like that, if they sell it for human consumption, 100%. That's fantastic. I think that's great news.
Once again, one of the things that was a little different than the Arkansas bill is Texas made a provision in their bill that you would be able to order it off the internet without a prescription and
cool.
have it shipped to Texas.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah. They're expecting a Fed fight on that because of interstate commerce, but it sounds like Ken Paxton, the attorney general, is just sort of rubbing his hands, telling the feds, bring it on, I'm ready to fight you. So we'll see.
Well, I'm along the same lines, I heard an ad, I think it was yesterday or the day before, here the Nebraska Corn Growers Association has come out. They're raising all kinds of cane about high fructose corn syrup. You know, Coca-Cola has recently made the announcement that they're going back to cane sugar and several mm-hmm. other. There's been quite a battle over that. And they're on there hawking the fact that there's no difference between high fructose corn syrup. It's a locally raised. They've taken this high road of it's an American grown product. You know what I mean? And it's just as good for you as sugar is and everything else. And of course, you know, it's going to just cripple the corn industry. And it's like, well, I don't know how much more crippled it could be than it already is. But I just think it's this business with our food. It's very interesting. And, you know, my personal opinion is, you know, lie about it not being good for you when there's all kinds of scientific, they talk about science, and it's like, it just depends. Science is very selective. It depends on what science you read. You know, it's like, well, we funded this study, and it's not bad for you, you know, but they funded that study, and it is bad for you. So you have to, there's a lot of, so basically you still have to develop your own opinion on things. You know what I mean? You have to do your own research, and because the money's buying the outcome. So I always love the peer-reviewed science statement, because it's like, well, you know, my peers tend to see things the way I see things.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Well, isn't it true? I mean, basically. So,
great
how about
point.
Non-peer-reviewed? So, but anyways.
Chances are I don't want to be peers with those people that are doing the studies anyways.
Exactly.
Yeah. We probably couldn't hang out. We would
well,
probably argue.
It's pretty much a point in fact that, you know, if you disagree with those people, they kick you out of their peer group.
You there know? You go.
That guy's a nut job. Get rid of him. You know, so it's really easy to have a good review when everybody's handpicked and thinks just like you do.
Mm-hmm.
Look at the climate change thing. You know, anybody who disagreed was, oh, they lost their doctorate. They were suddenly not, and it didn't matter
right.
how many facts they had or how much information they had. They just, it was like, no, you're not part of the group anymore. Get out. So you can't be one of our peers. So it's a, yeah, very selective process.
Yeah, I agree. Well, moving on, we've only got a few more minutes left, but did want to remind people about our church bulletin. You can shoot me an email. We email that out. I try to get it sent out right at 7 o'clock on Sunday mornings, and it has the links for church live video, live audio. It has our prayer list on it and has basically what we're going to be doing for church service. It's like just a virtual bulletin that we put together. Got a lot of people that are signing up for it. So if you'd like that, make sure and let me know. Shoot me an email, jason@sfaw.org or preacher@sfaw.org, and I'll get you added. Just a lot of people really like that. They enjoy it. And it's got the – one of the things that I've been talking to a lot of people, it's reminding people to pray and to pray for, you know, the remnant, the needs of the remnant, because we've been putting the prayers that we get in throughout the week in there and sending those out, and a lot of people are doing that. And I think that that's important. When we see somebody that is in need of prayer – you know, stop and pray for them. That's sometimes we stop and we say the words, you know, if only there was something I could do, or if I could do something, I wish I could do something for them, or something like that. Well, there is something that you can do for people, and that is pray. And there's a lot of people out there that really underestimate the power of prayer. And I know that there's power in prayer. There's power in you know, the remnant coming together in agreement upon a matter and praying for somebody. And it's very important. And I think that it's something that that I know that there's a lot of people that would enjoy it. Also, I've had a lot of people that say that we need to do one for Saturday morning and send out like a newspaper news article on Saturday morning so that they can follow along with some of the stuff. And I'd like to get there eventually, but right now just time doesn't allow it. Hopefully we'll be doing more. We're just constantly working away, trying to get stuff, trying to have new content for Sundays. New videos, been really working on having new videos every week, and trying to get stuff on the website, trying to get the newsletters printed, and did have a major setback this month on getting the Dragon Slayer newsletter magazine shipped out, but we did get it, and it is in the mail. So do, if you're on that list, keep your eyes out for that. It's, I think it's definitely a good one. And I was excited about it and glad to, that we finally got it done. It was just, we had a couple of hiccups along the way with printing equipment and different things that happened. But if you're not receiving that, just let me know and I'll put you on the list so that you can receive that as well. Wanted to get that in there before we ran out of time. And prepper tip of the week, we try to close out with that here on Saturday mornings. And I know that I don't know who put it in the notes, but are you carrying? Are you carrying all the time? I tell you what, I have I've been carrying, and one of the transitions that I've made was, and we talked about it here in the past, is I used to carry, I never carried a around in the chamber on my firearm, and I've switched that. I've tried to carry one in the chamber almost all the time. When I have that gun on my side, that's what I do. And it was, for me, it was, I was, going through a door and I had something in my hand and I was thinking, I would, play these games in my mind. And it's like, okay, I open this door and I go through there and, what do I have to do if I need to take a shot at something or somebody's shooting at me? And, thinking about if my, I'm right-handed, so if my left hand is full or I can't get to my, if I don't have both hands, I'm in trouble. And that's what really got me thinking about it. And the more I thought about it, the more I kept putting myself in situations where it just makes sense to be able to draw and shoot.
Praise the Lord.
So
I'm glad you're carrying one chamber now.
Yeah. I've talked to a lot of people and they're, you don't need to do that. You don't need to do that. And I was one of those guys. And the more that it's just like, I guess that's growth. But the more I thought about it, the more I just, played these, ran through scenarios and stuff like that. It's like, it just makes sense to me. So anyway, I just wanted to share that with you. And I tell you what, I'm carrying more and thankful to a brother that talked me into it. It makes sense. It's like, I'd rather have it, not need it, than need it, not have it. And I kept thinking about that.
Let me say, I'm going to go back to the Garden of Gethsemane and with Jesus telling Peter, sheathe your sword, now is not the time. And if now is not the time, that means there's going to be a time. And I think that's a great admonition to the rest of us, is there's going to be a time. And if you don't have it with you, how are you going to unsheathe it? And and that is, so that's kind of my thought on it, is we're told in Scripture that there will be a time. And if you're not properly prepared for that time, you're going to be found short. And I don't want to be found short. And I know we've discussed this on this, and I'm going to give it to Tim, but I look at it as the last commandment of Jesus to his followers was to arm themselves. And we have that example of him talking to Peter about there will be a time. And to me, that's pretty clear marching orders that, we know a well-armed man, protecting his house, and that's talked about in Luke. There are multiple examples of Jesus's own words to us of what we should and shouldn't be doing. And the fact of the matter is there are a lot of, we've spent a lot of time this morning talking about crazy people all across this country that are just looking to do harm against us. If now's not the time, I don't know what the time will be. What do you think, Tim?
I totally agree with everything you guys have said. I mean, there was just an article just real quick, the Crime Prevention Research Institute came out, or Center came out and said that they wildly underreported instances of armed civilian intervention in this country. And they did their own research, and according to the FBI, there were only 14 cases between 2014 and 2024, and they found over 202 in their short look. So you're saving lives. You are, you're put there, be vigilant, be ready. I mean, you have an opportunity there to do a good thing, So I know we're short on time, so that's my short version, good for everybody.
Well, and I was thinking about people. You've got all these people that want to be Christian soldiers, and they want to put on the full armor of God, and, you know, you're supposed to take up the sword of the Spirit. But, you know, what if you just, okay, well, that sword of the Spirit, we're just going to leave that on the sword shelf, you know, in the closet, in the bedroom above the doorway or above the mantle. I mean, it's like, no, that's not the way that it's supposed to work. So I think that there's a lot of things that we are supposed to do, and I think we're supposed to be spiritually armed, but I think that we're supposed to be physically armed. And, you know, that is, you know, like I said, there's growth in it. You know, it don't just carry, know how to shoot, know how to use it, and know where it is. A lot of
You are listening to the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network with Pastor Peter J. Peters, made possible by the tithes and offerings of the faithful. If you would like to be one of those who help to get needed truths out to others,